the trade partners. You go to, say, Le Sol d'Or. The guests stay. They're treated in complimentary airport transfers, private tour of the property.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
Let me tell you, it was tough because Hillary was tough. I was worn out. She was doing everything I was doing. But just like Ginger Rogers, it was backwards in heels.
President Barack Obama seemed to hit all the right notes, singing the praises of Hillary Clinton.
She will finish the job, and she will do it without resorting to torture or banning entire religions from entering our country. She is fit, and she is ready to be the next commander-in-chief.
Is she a good candidate?
There has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as President of the United States of America.
Today is the final day, and the presidential candidate speaks tonight. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
Fighting, kicking, and screaming was the only thing that kept a San Diego woman safe from an attacker, Jason Campadonia reports.
The woman had been jogging on Noble Drive near Regents Road in the afternoon when a man parked a four-door black sedan with a pink Lyft ride-sharing sticker on it next to her. The guy jumped out and put a taser to the woman's chest and then tried pulling her into the car. The woman fought back and was able to escape. The woman says she felt a burning sensation on her chest and did everything she could to get away. The attacker is still on the run. Jason Campadonia, San Diego.
More violence on the streets, this time in Queens. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
It happened around 11:45 Wednesday night on a Flushing street corner, normally quiet neighborhood. Kirby Chen said he heard it go down.
I heard a couple of loud boom noises, and I just thought it was fireworks.
Police say the suspect shot a 50-year-old man in the head after the two got into some sort of dispute. He was seen speeding from the scene on his motorcycle.
USA Radio.
QL1, you've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient.
Hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Oh, hold on. I wasn't finished. You can share your pay stuff and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates, and...
3, 2, 1...
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
The man who shot Ronald Reagan and crippled James Brady will be leaving a psychiatric facility on August the 6th.
If Mr. Hinckley doesn't take his medication, and no one will know whether he does or doesn't except over a 30-day period, he could lapse into psychosis. He could do something at any time. Psychiatry is as much an art as it is a science.
A federal judge ruled yesterday that Hinckley no longer poses a threat to himself or the public, but former U.S. Attorney Joseph DeGeneva says the judge in the case had little choice.
I think it's regrettable. I mean, my own personal opinion is no one who ever tries to nullify a national election with a bullet should ever be released from any type of confinement, but unfortunately, that's not the law.
Here is a homeless man who's being called a hero for turning in a gun-toting man who threatened to shoot a New York City cop. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
Police say George Pugh was smoking marijuana with an 18-year-old Florida man he'd met at the Port Authority bus terminal Wednesday afternoon when Hunter Lee Taylor pointed out a cop and said he'd like to off that guy. Then police say Hunter showed Pugh the loaded gun and ammo he had in his bag. Pugh told the cops Taylor's been arrested, charged with gun possession, and making a terrorist threat. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Rod William Stoll. News 24/7 at www.usaradio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how you can use your fear of failure to your advantage, how the Pokemon Go game is turning into big business for one industry, and you won't believe which one. I'll talk about how to let go of work during your vacation. I'll have three tips for improving the productivity of your sales team, and a recap of my recent meeting in Austin, Texas, with my fellow Crown Trophy store owners. It's Thursday, July 28th, 2016. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But first, a check of the weather shows it's currently 88 degrees at 12:07. The forecast shows that for today, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 94 and a low of 73. There is a chance of a thunderstorm tonight. That'll bring in cooler temperatures as we finally get a break from the heat wave with cloudy skies and a high of 80 degrees, a low of 64 tomorrow. There's also a flash flood warning in effect through tomorrow night. For Saturday, we're going to have intervals of clouds and sun with a high of 86 degrees and a low of 67. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly cloudy with showers and a thunderstorm around throughout the day, a high of 84 and a low of 67.
Taking care of business, every way we be taking care of business. It's all right, taking care of business and working overnight.
The current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 69.30 to 18,402.87. The NASDAQ is up 2.37 to 5142.18. S&P 500 is down 2.98 to 2163.60. Oil is down 69 cents to $41.23 per barrel. Gold down $8.20 to $1,342.70 per ounce. Well, welcome back. It's Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that means it's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. So glad I could join you yet again. Missed last week's show as I was down in Austin, Texas, a beautiful part of the country, by the way. The first time I had been down there, and we had our annual Crown Trophy franchisee meeting at the Barton Creek Resort in Austin, or outside of Austin, and it was just a great place to be. My family's gotten more and more into barbecue cooking lately as a result of my son getting a smoker for Christmas and some of the great food that he's been cooking. So we did some barbecue joints. Actually, we did one joint twice. Went to a couple Tex-Mex places. And just overall, it was a great meeting. I'll make every woman listening jealous right now. We went over to Waco, Texas, and visited the Magnolia store. And if you're a fan of the show Fixer Upper on HGTV, then you know that that is owned by Chip and Joanna Gaines from their show Fixer Upper. Chip and Joanna were not there, but we did get to go to Magnolia Market, hang out there for the day, do a little shopping. And then if you ever do go, they have a little cupcake place. And absolutely, without a doubt, the best cupcakes I think I've ever had, or cupcake, let's be singular here, I think the best cupcake that I've ever had in my entire life. Just fantastic the way they prepared that and got that all together. There was a great sign in the cupcake store, and it said, "Cupcakes are muffins that believed in miracles." And I really liked that, took a picture of it. And so that was fun to do. And then another day we had some time, so we took my younger son Colin out to see the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas. We walked around the Riverwalk for a while and enjoyed that. So overall, it's a great time. I look forward to this meeting every year, because when we come out of busy season, which lasts from March through the end of June, you're pretty much burnt out. You're working longer hours. You're struggling with vendors and things like that, and you're tired. And so when we get down there, now it's an opportunity for us to kind of share our experiences with other store owners, have them tell us what's working for them, what's not working, and exchange ideas and catch up, with some old friends. So I always look forward to it. This is how I kind of recharge my batteries to cover me for the second half of the year. And then in January, a bunch of store owners here on the East Coast get together. Next year, we're going to get together at one of our stores in Virginia. And again, it's just another, big battery recharge, if you will, because, when you do the same grind day in, day out, sometimes it's good to get together with your peers and, kind of share ideas, what's working, what's not, what can you do differently? And it gets people thinking a little bit more and helping each other. And that's what I like. That's how a franchise system should work. Is when everybody's working for the common good of the organization, because then everyone benefits. On the last night that we were there, it's what we call gala night or family reunion night, and we all get together for dinner, and they hand out some awards from Crown Corporate. So this year, Brandon and I thought I was getting one award, and we ended up walking away with four of them. So on awards night, Brandon and I, along with our team, picked up a few awards, including the Sales and Marketing Award, and that's our fifth time in 7 years for exceeding sales growth of $85,000 for the year. We were inducted into the Crown Trophy Gold Level Club for sales in excess of a predetermined level that's set by Crown. We also joined the $100,000 Club for sales exceeding $100,000 in just 1 month, which we did in May of this year. See, I told you I was busy. And then the shocker came later in the evening when I personally was awarded the Ben April Award. This is named after one of our fellow store owners who passed away 2 years ago. This is giving out to a store owner who offers his help to other stores, to the corporate offices, and I do that just because I feel it's the right thing to do. If I have some knowledge and I can pass that along and it benefits another store, then it works. But so if you did a case study, I'd worked with one of our other stores and helped grow them by about 125%. And, it was that store owner actually got up and told that story earlier in the day. And then that night I had received the award. Now, Ben's wife and daughter, Wendy and Sarah, still own the store down in Baldwin, Missouri. And I had overheard Wendy say to our founder, Chuck Weisenfeld, "You made a good selection with Jim." And I looked at her and I said, "You didn't pick this?" And she goes, "No, that's his pick." And so it was nice to be recognized both by corporate and amongst my peers with the Ben April Award. That is hanging proudly in my office, and just kind of reminds me every day when I look at it of why I do what I do with regards to helping other stores. So it's all good there. We're going to step away, take our first break, and then we'll get back into the program. I teased everybody on our Facebook page yesterday, the Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot, about the new Pokemon Go game and how it's having an impact on one industry. And I said, if you can guess what it is, let me know. But nobody got it right. So when we come back, I'll have the answer to which industry, surprisingly, is benefiting from the game Pokemon Go. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And it looks like for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be meeting on a regular basis. No trips coming up, nothing happening. So looking forward to delving into some more important business topics with you as we move forward. And don't forget, you can always email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Hit me up on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, or Twitter, text, email, however you want to get a hold of me. If you have topics you want us to talk about, by all means, send them my way, and we will research them and then bring them to you. So before the break, I kind of teased you, and yesterday I put a little blurb out on Facebook about the Pokemon Go game and how it's having an impact on business. Now, about 2 weeks ago, when Pokemon Go was first released, you saw people walking all over, you know, your town, your shopping center, wherever, looking at their phones and trying to catch Pokemon characters. And the way it works is you have to turn on your phone or your camera function, and then on your screen, if there is a Pokemon character, they will appear, and then you have to catch them by swiping the Pokeball towards them, and then when it blows up, you catch them. And this seemed like a pretty fun idea if you remember the Pokemon show when your children were younger. And so you have a bunch of kids in from their 20s and 30s, or men, women, in their 20s and 30s who are now playing the Pokemon Go game. And it's everywhere. You know, if there's a monument in a town, there's more than likely going to be a Pokemon character there, and people will go to it. I was at Staples the other day, and there was a guy who used to work at Staples, doesn't work there anymore, came in and knew that another guy was getting off work at 4 o'clock and said, "Hey, you want to go down to Main Street? I hear there's some Pokemon characters on Main Street." So they, you know, and they were both complaining that they only had a 50% charge on their phone.
And so they plugged their phones in, get a few extra, you know, percentage points of charge. And then they were walking down Main Street to go catch them all, as they say. Businesses have gotten in on the act where, for a fee, they could pay to have a Pokemon character located in their business for maybe a half an hour or an hour at a time. But they could promote it, tweet it, Facebook, and say, hey, we got a Pokemon character on the sales counter. And then it would drive people to come to the business. There is, however, an industry that is really capitalizing on this, and it's going to knock your socks off with the stupidity when I tell you this, but I found this out yesterday. So about 2 weeks ago, my son, who's a volunteer fireman, had his car parked in the fire department parking lot, and a gentleman came up from Virginia with a car on a trailer that he was donating to the fire department to use in drills. And when he came around the corner, the trailer, he misjudged it, and the trailer clipped the rear end of my son's car. So we were at the collision center and picked the car up yesterday. So as I'm dealing with the gentleman there at Bridgewater Auto Body, which did a phenomenal job on the car, by the way, we're talking, and you know, he's asking me about my business, and I'm asking him about his. And so he asked me, how's business? I said, well, we're really good. We're just coming off a busy season, but you know, we've definitely filled in the peaks and valleys with our custom imprinted apparel division and with our sign division, so we're happy with that. And I said, how about you? I said, this must be a slow time for you, because typically auto body shops love three things. They love rainy weather, they love snowy weather, and they love deer season, because that's when the most accidents happen. If it rains, people hydroplane, they skid off the road, damage to the car. If it's snow, you hit the brakes, you slide, you hit something, damage happens. And of course, during deer season or mating season, the deers are just acting crazy. They're jumping into roads and hitting cars. And so he goes, no, we've been really busy lately. And I go, well, why is that? And he goes, because of Pokemon Go. And I go, how in the world could Pokemon Go affect the auto body business? He goes, well, people are driving along Main Street USA, and they have their phone out, and they're looking for all of the characters on their phone, which means, and again, I told you, you have to have the camera function open. So they have the camera function open, and as they're driving slowly down a Main Street, they're trying to catch these Pokeballs or Pokemon characters without getting out of their car. And so while they're looking at their phone so much and they're swiping their finger up to try to catch the characters, and it may take, you know, one or two tries. I tried it when we were down in Texas, and it seems a little harder than it should be. So what's happened is people are taking their eyes off the road, and they're just driving into parked cars. So now you've damaged your car, you've damaged the parked car, and the auto body shops are cashing in as a result. You cannot make this stuff up. And, you know, I always get mad at people when I see them texting on the phone. Sometimes you can get mad at a person if they're talking on the phone and they're, you know, they're talking with their hands when the hands should be on the steering wheel, kind of thing. But I would love to hear the phone conversation between a person and their insurance company when they say, well, so how did the accident happen? Well, I was trying to catch Pikachu on Main Street, and suddenly I ran into a parked car. People, this game is not that important, and you are not going to win $1 million at the end if you catch them all. Put the phone down or park your car and then walk along Main Street and go catch your Pokemon characters. So, very interesting take on how this game craze has taken over the sanity of many otherwise normal people. All right, last week we had the Republican convention, and that ended with Donald Trump accepting the nomination for the Republican Party. This week, tonight, in fact, Hillary Clinton will accept the Democratic nomination. There was a lot of great speeches. Cory Booker gave a great speech. Joe Biden gave a great speech. President Obama gave a great speech last night. So there's been a lot of buzz. And now it's game on. After tonight, when Hillary accepts the nomination, you know, for the next several months leading up to the election day in November, it's game on, and it's really going to be, we are going to be bombarded. The lawn signs are coming out. The commercials are going to come out. So there's going to be a lot. And of course, every time Donald Trump says something, Hillary's going to counter it. And every time she says something, then Donald Trump's going to counter it. Interesting topic yesterday, and it was all over the news, when Donald Trump invited Russia to start hacking and finding the 33,000 missing emails from Hillary Clinton's account. Now, at first, everybody was condemning Trump, saying, how could he do that? It's almost treasonous. How would you invite a enemy nation? Well, not really an enemy nation, but how would you invite a foreign country to hack into your country's servers to try to find these emails? Hillary's camp went on the defensive and said, how could he possibly invite a foreign country to hack into our servers and jeopardize national security? Right there, when their camp made that statement, they possibly perjured themselves, because they've said all along the 33,000 emails were of a personal nature and that there was nothing classified or secure about them. But when you say that, so if I'm making an appointment for a yoga class, probably not going to talk about national security. If I'm making an appointment or I'm telling my daughter I'm going to come over and see her, my grandchild, probably not an issue of national security. So what is in those 33,000 emails that the Clinton campaign would say they shouldn't be hacked because, or found, because it could jeopardize national security? So in one instance, it looks like Trump is borderline treasonous, and in another instance, he's looking like a genius, you know, for letting them fall into that trap. So it'll be interesting to watch how this plays out over the next couple of days, and whether or not the argument of national security, you know, rears its ugly head yet again. In other political news, it was announced yesterday that John Hinckley Jr., the shooter who tried to kill President Ronald Reagan, after 35 years, he's won his freedom. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. has granted a request for Hinckley to leave the mental hospital where he's resided for decades to go live full-time with his 90-year-old mother in Williamsburg, Virginia. The release could happen as early as next week, the judge ruled, and under the terms of the order, Hinckley is not allowed to contact his victims, their relatives, or actress Jodie Foster, with whom he was obsessed. Hinckley also will not be permitted to knowingly travel to areas where the current president or members of Congress are present. The judge said Hinckley could be allowed to live on his own or in a group home after 1 year. Mr. Hinckley shall abide by all laws, shall not consume alcohol, illegal drugs, shall not possess any firearm, weapon, or ammunition, and shall not be arrested for cause, Senior U.S. District Judge Paul Friedman ordered. On March 30, 1981, outside the Washington Hilton Hotel, a shaggy-haired Hinckley aimed his gun at President Ronald Reagan and fired six times. Reagan spent nearly 2 weeks in the hospital recovering from wounds and blood loss. His press secretary, James Brady, was shot in the head. Brady survived but spent the next 28 years in a wheelchair. A year after the attack, a court found the perpetrator, John Hinckley, not guilty by reason of insanity. So Hinckley's going to be out, and a lot of people on both sides are arguing, is this the right thing? Does he still pose a threat? And, you know, what if, as you heard in the news break earlier in the show, what if he does go off his meds and then lapses into those tendencies yet again? So last week, as I mentioned, we're in Waco, Texas, and we're in Austin, Texas, and it was kind of like business meeting yet vacation. So the question is, how do you let go of work during vacation? Now, vacations can improve creativity and energy if you can rewire your brain to leave the work behind. Getting away from the office to clear your head doesn't count if you're bringing work or guilt along with you. Now, this roundup of recently published ideas is going to help you make the most of your precious time off if you have a vacation coming up. The experts delved into the way our brains are wired to obsess about work and ways to trick ourselves into letting go. They also explored the benefits of such breaks and why refocusing elsewhere helps restore creativity and energy. Now, we all know people who go on vacation only to continue firing off emails and texts as they lie on the beach, neglecting their spouse and kids. It's tempting to check in all the time, but I don't want to be that person. And I sure don't want to be the boss interfering with my employees' well-earned breaks. And I realize that unless I unplug completely on vacation, I cheat myself out of generating fresh, new, creative ideas. In the long run, your business will suffer and you'll burn out. I also think that if our people don't disconnect, they end up compromising their contributions to the overall mission. More important, they fail at what should be their priority: cherishing time with family and friends and having a work-life balance. So one way to do this is to go dark. Have your assistant change the passwords on your email and social media accounts. Just simply go dark. Nobody from work can reach you, and now you can focus on you and your family. Now, of course, if there's something urgent that you must attend to, your assistant can always get a hold of you. She'll know how to reach you. The results have been revolutionary. Yeah, I come back from vacation supercharged, rested, and feeling like I gave my family and friends my best self instead of lounging poolside wondering about the to-do list, the deals that have to be made, and emails. I'm a million miles away from work on self-imposed exile from the digital world. Going dark feels surreal at first, and with the withdrawal might make you feel antsy. We are a culture literally addicted to the little charge we get from checking our social media accounts. For it to work, you have to develop a culture where everyone unplugs and partner up with a colleague who will have your back while you're MIA. Now, although getting off the grid is a respected part of our corporate culture, some people are more addicted to their devices than others. This also only works if you have a team that you can trust. So here's the challenge. When you go on vacation, go dark this summer. Change your passwords, leave your devices, and check out of the grind. What you're really doing is acknowledging the capabilities of your team and the systems that you've put in place. The hardest part will be accepting that disconnecting will add value to your workplace and will never materialize if you're constantly plugged in. If you go dark on vacation, you'll be ready for the light when you return. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. We'll be back right after this.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
So this year, in this election, I'm asking you to join me to reject cynicism and reject fear and to summon what is best in us to elect Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States.
President Obama endorsing Hillary Clinton at the Democratic National Convention. Tonight is Hillary Clinton's big night. She will formally accept the nomination. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine is her running mate.
Bill built a bridge into the 21st century, and Barack gave us hope. And now Hillary is ready. She's ready to fight. She's ready to win. And she is ready to lead.
That was Kaine, who gave a speech last night. Meanwhile, the Secret Service arrested more than a half dozen protesters last night during the convention. Many are upset over the DNC email scandal or are Bernie Sanders supporters. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me on this and every Thursday afternoon. A brief check of the weather shows temperature is currently 88 degrees. It's 12:33, and today we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 94 and a low of 73. There is a chance of a thunderstorm tonight. For tomorrow, we'll finally a break from the heat with cloudy skies and a high of 80 and a low of 64. There is a flash flood warning in effect for Hunterdon County through tomorrow evening. For Saturday, we're going to have intervals of clouds and sun with a high of 86 degrees and a low of 67. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly cloudy with showers and a thunderstorm around throughout the day, a high of 84 and a low of 67. So that's your weather here at 100andChamberRadio.com.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way we be. Taking care of business.
Well, we have a couple listeners checking in, so I do want to say thank you to Robin Fatou for checking in. Robin had replied yesterday when I posted on Facebook about the Pokemon Go game, and she admits I got her. She wasn't expecting the industry that I said. She had actually said that it was the dog shelter business, and she had encouraged me to read up on that. because it increased the adoption rates by implementing Pokemon. I thought it was going to be more people were boarding their dogs and cats because they wanted to go out into the streets and, you know, play with cartoon characters rather than, you know, their live animals. So, Robin, thanks for listening. I do appreciate that here. When I was at the Crown Trophy meeting last week, everybody likes to come in and brag. And it's just natural in the sales business. You want to talk about your sales. And we did X number of sales. And we, whatever, made the gold level club, the platinum level club, the centurion club. We're great. We love it. You know, we're the best. And that's okay to a point. You know, and you should be patted on the back for your successes. During one of the sessions, I actually talked about one of my biggest failures. And this was a breakout table of about 10 people. And it wasn't so much that I had failed. It's what I had learned from failing. And this happened probably 20 or 30 years ago, but the lessons learned then I still carry with me today because it really screwed up one of the biggest deals of my life. And to this day, it reminds me that you've got to make sure all your I's are dotted, all your T's are crossed, and you have to play that what-if game of, you know, what if this happens, then what? You know, if this, then that. So when I shared that with some folks, it was pretty rapt attention. They were paying attention. They were asking a lot of good questions. And they at the end, someone said, I'm surprised that you wanted to talk more about a failure than about a success. And I go, it's learning from the failure that will hopefully generate success in the future. Now, one of the biggest roadblocks to success is the fear of failure. Fear of failure is worse than failure itself because it condemns you to a life of unrealized potential. A successful response to failure is all in your approach. In a study recently published in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, researchers found that success in the face of failure comes from focusing on results, what you hope to achieve, rather than trying not to fail. Now, while it's tempting to try and avoid failure, people who do this fail far more often than those who optimistically focus on their goals. This sounds rather easy and intuitive, but it's very hard to do when the consequences of failure are severe. The researchers also found that positive feedback increased people's chances of success because it fueled the same optimism and experience when focusing solely on your goals. The people who make history, true innovators, take things a step further and see failure as a mere stepping stone to success. Thomas Edison is a great example. It took him 1,000 tries to develop a light bulb that actually worked. When someone asked him how it felt to fail 1,000 times, he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. That attitude is what separates the successes from the failures. Thomas Edison isn't the only one. J.K. Rowling's manuscript for Harry Potter was only accepted after 12 publishers denied it, and even then, she was only paid a nominal advance. Oprah Winfrey lost her job as a Baltimore news anchor for becoming too emotionally involved in her stories, a quality that became her trademark. Henry Ford lost his financial backers twice before he was able to produce a workable prototype of an automobile. And the list goes on and on. So what separates the people who let their failures derail them from those who use failure to their advantage? Some of it comes down to what you do, and the rest comes down to what you think. The actions you take in the face of failure are critical to your ability to recover from it, and they have huge implications for how others view you and your mistakes. There are 5 actions you must take when you fail that will enable you to succeed in the future and allow others to see you positively in spite of your failure. Number 1, you have to break the bad news yourself. Now, if you've made a mistake, don't cross your fingers and hope that no one will notice because someone is going to notice. It's inevitable. When someone else points out your failure, that one failure turns into 2. If you stay quiet, people are going to wonder why you didn't say something, and they're likely to attribute this to either cowardice or ignorance. Number 2, offer an explanation, but don't make excuses. Owning your mistakes can actually enhance your image. It shows confidence, accountability, and integrity. Just be sure to stick to the facts. We lost the account because I missed the deadline is a reason. We lost the account because my dog was sick all weekend and that made me miss the deadline. Well, that's an excuse. And you know the theme of this show and you know the theme in my production area and you know my theme in life. No excuses, no exceptions. Number 3, have a plan for fixing things. Owning up to a mistake is one thing, but you can't end it there. What you do next is critical. Instead of standing there, waiting for someone else to clean up your mess, offer your own solutions. It's even better if you can tell your boss or whoever that the specific steps that you've already taken to get things back on track. Number four, have a plan for prevention. Now, in addition to having a plan for fixing things, you should also have a plan on how you'll avoid making the same mistake in the future. That's the best way to reassure people that good things will come out of your failure. Number five, get back on the horse. Now, it's important that you don't let failure make you timid. That's a mindset that sucks you in and handicaps you every time you slip up. Take enough time to absorb the lessons of your failure, and as soon as you've done that, get right back out there and try again. Waiting only prolongs bad feelings and increases the chance that you'll lose your nerve. Your attitude when facing failure is just as important as the actions you take. Using failure to your advantage requires resilience and mental strength, both hallmarks of emotional intelligence. When you fail, there are three attitudes you want to maintain. Number six, perspective. This is the most important factor in handling failure. People who are skilled at rebounding after failure are more likely to blame the failure on something that they did, the wrong course of action, or a specific oversight, rather than something that they are. People who are bad at handling failure tend to blame failure on their laziness, lack of intelligence, or some other personal quality, which implies that they had no control over the situation. That makes them more likely to avoid future risk-taking. Number seven, optimism. This is another characteristic of people who bounce back from failure. One British study of 576 serial entrepreneurs found that they were much more likely to expect success than entrepreneurs who gave up after their first failure. That sense of optimism is what keeps people from feeling like failure is a permanent condition. Instead, they tend to see each failure as a building block to their ultimate success because of the learning that it provides. And finally, number eight, persistence. Optimism is a feeling of positivity. Persistence is what you do with it. It's optimism in action. When everybody else says enough is enough and decides to quit and go home, persistent people shake off those failures and keep going. Persistent people are special because their optimism never dies. This makes them great at rising from failure. If you want to bring it all together, failure is a product of your perspective. What one person considers a crushing defeat, another sees as a minor setback. The beauty is you can change how you see failure so that you can use it to better yourself. A simple lesson when you talk about failure is learn from your own mistakes and learn from the mistakes of others. And in a corporate environment, it's very easy. If you see somebody fail, you know, always say to yourself, well, I can't do that. You know, he missed the deadline, project failed. I can't miss the deadline. Lesson learned. But also from yourself, if you screw up, take the time to analyze it. Don't make the excuses. Don't look for reasons and excuses as to why something didn't work to soften the blow. I remember I was working at a lumberyard many years ago as a consultant, and I screwed something up. And I went back in to the owner, and I said, look, I made a mistake. I screwed this up, and I need your help working on a solution so that we can get back on track. And he looked at me, and he goes, well, what'd you do? And I told him, and, you know, how we – so with one phone call to one of the construction companies that we were dealing with, about a half-hour phone call, and it was kind of painful. We had to admit what the mistake was. We still ended up getting the contract and at a higher price. What happened was I had given my admin both the cost of the project and told her how to mark it up. When she sent it out, she only sent out the cost of materials, not the markup. When we finally told our contractor what the problem was, he said, we knew it was wrong from the get-go. You were way too low. Now you're right back in contention. And eventually, because we came to them, they gave us the contract. So just another way that sometimes, rather than hiding, it's better to just face your problems head on and fix them. Big news in the business world this week. Verizon is buying Yahoo. So it's official. Yahoo's days as an independent company are over. Verizon has agreed to pay $4.83 billion for Yahoo, the company said before markets opened on Monday. The sale completes Yahoo's evolution from influential search pioneer and web portal juggernaut to, in the end, a once dominant brand that lost its way. Parties as diverse as Warren Buffett and the Daily Mail were interested in buying Yahoo, but after a sale process that dragged on for months, Verizon, long viewed as the front runner, is walking away with Yahoo's more than 1 billion monthly active users. In 2008, Yahoo rejected a bid of $45 billion from Microsoft. and now they sold for 10 times less. Current Yahoo shareholders will keep the company's lucrative investments in Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba and Yahoo Japan. They will be spun into separate, yet-to-be-named publicly traded company. The deal also excludes some patents and Yahoo's cash. The Verizon deal must be approved by regulators and is expected to be finalized in the first quarter of 2017. The sale puts an end to Yahoo's 21-year history as an independent company. Yahoo will now be integrated with Verizon-owned AOL under Marnie Walden, an executive vice president at the telecom company. It also ends a turnaround effort by Marissa Mayer, who joined Yahoo 4 years ago and promised to revitalize the company. Verizon and Yahoo have not commented on who will lead Yahoo once the deal is complete. It's unclear what Mayer will do after the deal closes. A spokesman for Yahoo said it's too early to say whether she will stay on as CEO, accept a new role at Verizon, or step aside. Meanwhile, Mayer says she will stay on to see Yahoo through the transition. So big news if you have a Yahoo account. And apparently the reason Verizon is making this move is because they wanted the streaming quality that Yahoo had. Currently 12:45. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'll have three tips for improving the productivity of your sales team. We'll be right back.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us as we head towards the top of the hour and the end of the show. We have three tips for improving the productivity of your sales team. This is something I think every business struggles with at some point, and you're always asking them to do more, sometimes with less. But how can you improve the productivity? I have two stories here that I'm going to merge because I think they're both very helpful in as you approach your sales team and try to increase their sales and their performance. Now, your sales team is one part of your company where you will notice a decline in productivity. Improving the productivity of your sales team should be your priority for engaging your audience. It's not rocket science. There are some easy tactics you can introduce in order to keep productivity high and keep the cash rolling in. It's easier than you think, and it's all in the mind. So there's three tips that we're going to tell you about right now, and some of the things you can do to help your sales team better build your brand and improve your productivity. You want to begin by pacing yourself. Now, if you wanted to start a successful podcast, you would make sure that you paced your broadcast. So why does it have to be different for sales? Pacing yourself can be done simply through thinking about it, reflecting on what you're doing, and then implementing changes. Consider what you want to be known for and keep on point with your goals at all times. You should also take into account your previous performance and how you're going to improve on that. Sometimes you have to take some time away from the rat race to think about what you've really done before. Those hours spent away from the grind can really make a difference on how you perform. The issue with your sales department is not that they're lazy or easily distracted. The problem is that they're unable to improve on their previous performance. Thus, their productivity never changes. It's about working smarter, not harder. You also want to partner with a professional. Now, one of the best productivity tips to change your life is to employ the help of mentors within your company. Find those who are the most successful at what they do and get them to train your employees. Partnering with mentors allows the professional development that will improve your conversion rates, allow you to generate better leads, and ultimately to earn more money. There are thousands of sales teams that have turned into productivity monsters because they had professional mentorship. People often don't see their own mistakes or where they're wasting time. They need someone to tell them where they are leaking time and how to build resilience to that. So how do you go about finding these mentors? Now, first of all, you should look first inside your own company. If there is a star talent, it's worth enhancing their special skills so you can continue to foster the relationships within the office. In the event that you don't have any mentors within your company, bring them in from the outside. There are mentoring companies where motivational speakers and tutors will come in and spend some time with the team. They may only be present for a short amount of time, but their effect can be devastating. It's like you fired the old team and hired a new one. Where are you going and why? This question is important to answer, both as a team and as an individual, because that's what enables you to stay productive. Think about it like a marathon. If you know where the finish line is and how far you have to run, you're going to pace yourself and speed up when necessary. On the other hand, think about a runner heading into the distance without any aim. They're not going to speed up and they're not going to pace themselves because they have zero direction. Your team needs to know where their goals are and why they're doing something. The secret to increase productivity is to have a solid idea of where your future is. This falls on the shoulders of the boss. They have to be clear about what they expect from the team. Without any clear expectations in mind, the team has very little idea of what's expected of them. Remember, happy workers are 12% more productive. The final lesson is working smarter, not harder. Now, you've heard that phrase before, but not a lot of people know what it actually means. You have the same number of minutes in a day, regardless of what you do. So working smarter isn't just about speeding up and cramming as much work in as possible. Adopt the big corporate style of management and focus on the tasks that really matter and put the other things to one side. You don't have to do something if it doesn't relate directly to your primary goals. That's why a firm direction is so important in the grand scheme of things. When we talk about sales, accountability is key. And this, I guess it's about 15, 16 years ago, was something that we started in an office that I was working in. It was a recruiting firm. And we would get together for morning meetings and they'd say, hey, what are you working on? And without any concrete evidence, people would say, oh, I got this deal with Johnson & Johnson cooking. I got this deal with Merck. I got this deal with Daiichi Sankyo or something like that. Or you never really knew where they were in the process. Had a candidate been on a first interview, second interview, phone interview, things like that. So you have to kind of narrow it down. And what's great in sales, both for the salesperson as well as the management team leading them, is that if you have a sales pipeline managing spreadsheet, all of a sudden everybody can look at it. And a couple of things will come to mind very quickly. Do you have enough activity? What is the potential for that sale? Do you need any help? Where are we at in the process? When will it close? So any business owner will tell you that consistent sales are critical to the overall life and success of the company. Monitoring the sales funnel process without the proper tools can be an excruciatingly time-consuming process. And a great tool to keep track of all that is called a sales pipeline management spreadsheet. There are many versions out there, a lot of them for free, that you can download to the computer and or to a mobile device where you can type in your numbers, type in the clients, and keep track of what you're working on. The sales pipeline management spreadsheet will allow you to spend more time planning or meeting with clients instead of spending hours filling out information by hand. How do you use a sales pipeline management spreadsheet? Well, the spreadsheet is a business owner's dream. At the top of the spreadsheet, you can add your company name and logo. That'll be fancy. And the template can also be customized to the color scheme of your business or your company or the activity that you want to highlight, if you so desire. In addition, you can input any important or relevant business information, such as an address or phone number. The spreadsheet is broken down into a total of 10 different categories that appear in 10 different columns. And the categories include in the spreadsheet would be the account name, the pipeline stage, the forecast close, potential opportunity, chance of sale, weighted forecast, a Q1, Q2, Q3, and Q4 weighted forecast. So let's just take a look at them real quick. Obviously, you want to know who the account is. The pipeline stage is critical, and I'll get into that in just a minute. But that forecast close and potential opportunity are huge. If you were to say, we're going to close this deal in October of 2016, put it down, write it down so that you're always working towards that end. The potential opportunity, this is kind of like a gut check. What do you think this is going to translate into? What are your chances of closing this sale? 10%? 50%, 75%. That number can change based on phone conversations, emails, any kind of correspondence you might have with the company. Your potential opportunity, your chance of sale can go up or down. Now, as designed, there is space for up to 21 different accounts to be entered into a spreadsheet. However, this can be expanded or decreased based on the needs of your company. The pipeline stage can be defined in one of four ways: lead, opportunity, solution proposed, and formal approval. A lead means there's a 25% chance of a sale. An opportunity signifies a 50% chance of a sale. A solution proposed means there's a 75% chance of a sale, while a formal approval means the deal is done. And it's important to note that you will only put business and financial information in the areas that are indicated. Failure to follow this important step could lead to incorrect financial figures and information and thus throw off your expected earnings for the year. So, if you haven't already done it, by all means, start looking at it. If you're in sales, start looking at some spreadsheet programs out there so that you can improve your chances of closing a deal. Now, so I went on vacation last week, and there's a process I go through that I think everybody should go through because it's helped me tremendously, and that is things you absolutely must do at work before leaving on your vacation. Now, if your boss has already granted you the time off and you're counting down the days until your much-needed getaway, you might already be on vacation in your mind, but there are a few bases that absolutely must be covered at work before your body actually leaves the building. So ensuring that your projects and duties are thoroughly taken care of in your absence is a hallmark of a responsible employee. Not only will you have the peace of mind out there that there's no mountain of work waiting on your return, but your coworkers will thank you for not having them scramble to deal with deadlines you forgot to mention were in the pipeline. And if that monumental faux pas winds up happening, there's a definite chance they won't let you off the hook while you're attempting to decompress. There's nothing that kills a vacation vibe faster than having to plug back into work while you're away because you're the only one who can handle a particular emergency, said Marissa Brassfield, a productivity expert with Ridiculously Efficient based in Toluca Lake, California. Avoid any vacation interruptions and disgruntled coworkers by doing these three things before you take off. Create a game plan. It's good to always have a list of your ongoing projects handy, but especially so before you leave on vacation. As important part of this step includes anticipating any problems, make a list of possible worst-case scenarios and provide clear instructions as to how coworkers should handle each. Don't leave it up to them to figure out what to do. You also want to arrange the handoff. Now, it's important that those taking the reins for you understand exactly what they'll be doing while you're gone. Where are you at in the process? Who have you contacted? What's the conversations like? What are the anticipated actions? So that they can then act accordingly and hopefully keep the process moving forward. If you review everything appropriately, you likely won't be greeted by a substantial to-do list upon your return. And number three, bring your boss into the fold. Now, just because your boss said you can go on vacation doesn't translate into an out-of-sight, out-of-mind situation. You should meet with them and let them know the status of all of your projects. I provide a spreadsheet to my staff saying, this is what I'm working on, here's where you can find the file, and if you have any questions and it's urgent, then you can call me. But always make sure that your boss knows exactly what you're working on. Before you know it, your vacation will be over. You'll be back to the daily grind. So don't spend your precious time off connected to the company servers and fielding emails from harried coworkers. Tie up all those loose ends so you can kick back and enjoy life for a change. So, again, when you go on vacation, the handoff is key. And I don't care whether you're the lowest employee or the highest. Make sure somebody knows what you're working on. Getting towards the end of the show, in sports, in NASCAR, Kyle Busch dominated the Brickyard 400 last Sunday in Indianapolis. This week, the teams will head to Pocono for the Pennsylvania 400 on Sunday at 1:48 p.m. on NBC Sports. A moving tribute last week was that Tony Stewart invited Jeff Gordon onto the track with him for a last lap, as Gordon was subbing for the injured Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's suffering from concussion-like syndromes. Gordon will be back in the 88 car again this weekend at Pocono. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway, and the Orioles, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants lead their divisions in the National League. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical.